All right, we are live at Target Field, hour two of Drive Time with DeRussia on this Thursday, sort of overcast afternoon. Had a couple of pleasant days with no smoke in the air. It's good to take a bike ride, or I had dinner on the patio 2 days in a row. It's been nice. Target Field tonight, we'll see what the fan reaction is the first time fans get back into Target Field. Not since the trade deadline. I was here for a Friday night fireworks game, great game after the trade deadline, where fans had some young players to be excited about. Now this will be the first time fans are back after news that the Poleads are retaining majority ownership of the Minnesota Twins. Paul Molitor is with us. Paul, it's so good to see you. Hall of Famer, former manager, current broadcaster. What a 10 or 15 day stretch it's been for this team.
It really has, and I have to say, first of all, I'm not surprised that I was out of town for the couple of nice days that we had.
That's how this goes.
That's
right.
How it goes. It's been kind of a strange summer that way.
You like to ride? Do
I'm
you
a
still?
Biker.
You're
yeah.
a biker, yeah.
Well, we just have so many good trails to try to take advantage of, and I try to mix it up and get out there. You know, can't run anymore, so you got to do something
better,
right?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But you know, back to what you said, Jason, about just this whole thing with the club, and I was surprised at the amount of players that were moved. Obviously, I knew that there would be some action. I didn't think that the hopes for, even if we had made the playoffs, potentially the chance at a run weren't very high. So the guys that were going to be potential free agents made perfect sense to me, but some
yes.
of the other guys were a little bit of a shocker.
I think Varlin surprised everybody.
Yeah, I think so. And I think some people thought, hey, maybe we'll trade either Jax or Duran, but probably not both. Those type of things. But as far as what the Poleads eventually decided to do with the announcement yesterday, I didn't see that coming. I hadn't heard anything, you know, behind the scenes, or I wasn't privy to any of those type of discussions. But of all the possible outcomes, that was probably the one I was least expecting.
Yeah, it's sort of, I mean, I can understand on the one hand, many of us have put a house up for sale, and you get some offers, and you think they're not that great, and then maybe you emotionally are like, you know, I'm not quite ready to let go of this. We saw Glenn Taylor try to pull back when he was, like, I get the emotion, and I know people, fans have such emotions towards the Poleads, but man, if you're Joe and you grew up as a kid hanging out at the Metrodome in the Twins dugouts.
Right.
Like, I get the emotional pull that you don't want to let go of it.
Well, I think that they had every intent to sell the team, given the right parameters surrounding a deal. And they eventually came to the conclusion that maintaining, you know, the primary ownership with a couple of new limited partners coming in, we'll see how that plays out. I think...
What's your biggest question about that, as far as how that plays out?
Well, I'm not really sure of the terms and conditions of how much money's coming to the table through these limited partners. Is it going to address, hopefully, a better product on the field? Or is it going to go to try to working down the debt that the club is supposedly carrying? There's some questions around that. I'm not overly curious about who the two parties are. You know,
doesn't matter.
It was a little awkward that we got the announcement and didn't find out right away. But
yeah.
we'll see. I just think the fans' perspective is, most of them will tell you, they know this is a business. That's
yes.
bottom line. But they would like to see some type of more commitment to people that are financially capable of doing some things that might improve the product on a year-to-year basis.
Is there a number? Is there a payroll number that you think would make people feel better?
Well, it's kind of, we're going to be starting from a rather low number at the start of next year.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, if you go back
we're
to
already down to what, 130?
Well, I think we're probably below that after the trades that we made.
Yeah.
But, you know, after the playoff series went against the Blue Jays, that's when I think a lot of fans that were trying to hang in there and do what they can as far as the Poleads and their strategies kind of lost a little bit of that passion when they decided to go less rather than more after that exciting time a couple of Octobers ago.
I think it's really that simple. Like you can understand the business side of why they went less. The TV
sure.
was uncertain, big money. We still were post-COVID. Let's be honest
right.
about that. I feel like people don't talk about that enough.
Not very much.
But part of why attendance here has been down and why the team is down so much in revenue is that people weren't coming back to downtown Minneapolis. Now, today, I think people are more comfortable But let's be real, like, it's sure. It's been a more challenging situation post-George Floyd, post-riots.
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID, right. All of that, then other major league cities.
No, I think that added to it. I mean, there was a time, especially after the unfortunate things that took place after, you know, George Floyd was murdered, was that visiting clubs weren't even staying downtown. They were staying out, like...
Like by Mall of America.
By the Galleria. There's that nice little...
Oh, the West End, yeah.
Yeah, people just didn't want to risk being down here. I do think there's a little bit more comfort... comfortability and people coming down here. But there's a lot of factors, as you mentioned, that have kind of slowed those big numbers that you would like to see at Target Field.
Paul Molitor is our guest. Are there days where you're looking at all of this going on and where you think I miss managing the team?
I missed it a little bit the first couple of years. Yeah. I think it's kind of waned. It's, you know, this is Rocco's, what, seventh year, eighth year? I mean, it's been incredible how the time has gone by. And I'm not trying to gain points or anything, but the whole poll ad thing, I have to say, on my end, they've treated me great. You know, everyone has their opinions, and fans are certainly entitled, but from Carl and then Jim's ownership and now Joe, I've been able to be a coach, a manager, a player, and a broadcaster, and so a lot of good things have come my way because of what they've done.
It is unusual, I think, and I don't know if it's just the Twins or if it's a baseball thing. But the fact that you see guys who got fired.
I think it's unique to the Twins in some ways. There might be a couple other places where guys that have been let go, if you will. TK was more on his terms.
Yeah.
Gardy, I think it was a collaboration that he just thought it was time for a new face. And then when Derek and Thad, after my 4 years here, I totally understood when they came in that my years were probably numbered and they were going to want their own guy.
Yeah.
But the relationships are strong enough where they find a role, and I give Dave St. Peter a lot of credit in that as well, too.
No doubt. Paul Molitor is our guest. All right, when you look at the team that's out there right now, you know, it's difficult to sell to fans like, hey, come and see how these kids are, but you still have Buxton. You still have, well, Royce Lewis, I think, is a question mark.
Sure.
You still have some pieces. Pitching is a question, but you got Joe Ryan.
Right.
We saw Pablo Lopez out here throwing pregame, so hopefully he's getting a little closer.
Sure.
Where are we at with this group?
It's a young, unproven group for the most part. And, yes, the pieces that you do have, I'm glad Joe Ryan's still here. Obviously getting Pablo back. Our offensive production definitely relies heavily on Byron and his health, and he's stepped up this year.
What a season for him.
It's been fantastic. And I think Royce, not untypical to a lot of players, had immediate success, raised the bar on expectations, had the injuries to overcome, and then all of a sudden, probably for the first time in his life, he struggled.
Yeah.
And the confidence that you lose, you know, you look at Edward Julian and what he did a couple of years ago, and he hasn't returned to form, and some of the other guys... I think the jury's still out on which of those guys, you know, if you say, hey, which position players are going to be in the lineup in 2 or 3 years from now, there's not a lot of guarantees.
Yeah.
So I think Keyshaw's been great, and I like his chances. But he found out even after that hot return after disabled list, he had a rough series in New York too. So you're kind of dealing with that. I'm interested to see where it's going to go. I like the athleticism the team has added. And today's game, you look at teams like the Brewers and the Tampas and Cincinnati's, they're finding a way to win by maybe not having the biggest names, but by doing things a little bit old school.
Can you tell when you see a younger player, can you tell, I think this guy is going to make it?
I look at skill level somewhat, but I also look when I have a chance to be around them, the makeup component. You know, Terry Ryan was huge on that. Just how you deal with failure. You hear that all the time in sports. Failure is very high in baseball.
Yeah.
And these guys that...
Well, the Julian example is a great one, and we're watching Royce. We hope that he's able to fight through it.
Yeah, I think he will. But it's.
But you don't know?
No, you're never sure. You know, go back to guys like Torrey Hunter and Michael Kadire back in for our fans who've been around.
Yeah.
They had to go back to the minor leagues, in some cases more than once, before they finally figured out how to be consistent up here and not have so many ups and downs and have it bury you along the way.
Is it more the learning, the resilience, or is it... like honing in skills that makes the difference?
Because
these guys have been the best player in their universe forever. And this is, like you said, maybe the first failure.
Well, the skill training, the accessibility to tools that we never had, whether it's video or the pitching machines and all these things, is better than it's ever been. But if you ask me, mental component or the physical component, the guys that struggle, it's usually more between the ears than it is in the batter's box.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting because you look at the skills, you look at how long it takes to get up to the big league club, but then...
Well, look at you, you know, all your ups and downs, and look how confident look how confident you look.
I'm still figuring it out. I just don't care. You're like, you know you're going to fail. You're going to fail sometimes.
That's some of that for sure.
But that is the hard thing, especially when you're used to success, when you have something that doesn't quite work out.
Yeah.
How do you dig yourself out of it?
Well,
it's tough.
Well, kind of connected. You know who Harvey McKay is, kind of a famous author here from the Twin Cities, a big, tremendous businessman. He wrote a book like, if you've never been fired, I'm not sure the exact title, but if you've never been fired, you're probably never going to be the person that you were meant to be. You got to go through some type of adverse conditions before we finally figure some things out.
Well, we talk about that with... Can you hang on for one more segment? Do you have a minute?
I actually have to
go. Oh, you
got to
go.
Booth. Yeah, sorry
all
about
right.
that.
It's quite all right. Well, Paul Molitor is in a similar situation as me with kids going off to college.
My youngest son's starting at Winona State next week, and yours is heading out to California.
And mine goes to California tomorrow. So empty nester life is about to be here for us.
Well, good for you. I'm sure it'll give you more time to do the restaurants and
more
all the
eating.
Things you like
I know.
To do, right?
What's the best place you've eaten at lately?
Oh, man. I haven't been out for a while. I kind of have my regular spots. I've ran into you
well,
in the North Loop a couple years ago.
Each other.
Yeah,
indeed.
You got it.
Paul, appreciate it.
Nice to see you.
Really good.
Thanks.
Paul Molitor, he is the best. In the booth for the Twins tonight. So make sure you listen in. Paul Molitor.